listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas, live on a Wednesday, broadcasting 225 FSR stations across this great, great nation. Tomorrow, the NFL schedule. We're going to preview that. We're going to talk a lot of these moves in the NFL, including in New England. Also, Andy Dalton. A lot of talk about that. So excited. Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, only guy to win the Super Contest twice. What's a Super Contest? Oh, only the biggest NFL handicapping contest in history. Only two-time winner. We got him. And listen, I don't think he's won the Super Contest, but he's a super guy. Jonas Knox in L.A.
Always good to be here, RJ. Yeah, no Super Contest for me. I'll stay as far away from that as possible. I'll leave that to the pros. But on a day in which we've got the NFL schedule release, as you mentioned, just 24 hours away from now, and people starting to discuss what college football could look like in the future, what is the Vegas lead here on this Wednesday?
The Las Vegas lead, big news with the Patriots, and who's, it looks like we know who's going to replace Tom Brady.
Yeah, and in his latest mailbag for The Athletic, NFL insider Jay Glazer said he thinks the Patriots believe that Stidham is the quarterback of the future in New England, and it looks like they're going to go with the second-year man out of Auburn.
And I think the thing that people haven't talked about enough, and first off, a lot of people, tens of thousands, that bet it, hundreds of thousands listening, they're thinking, RJ, you told us when it was even money that Stidham was the guy. And then you threw, just for fun, remember in Scarface, Jonas, when Pacino says, I kill communists for fun? This was just for fun, Hoyer at 10-1. I like both those pieces right now. Even money on Stidham, Hoyer at 10-1. Faz, what do you think of that?
That is one fine investment portfolio, RJ.
No doubt. Right now, the updated odds off of some of the reporting, I think, driving it, Stidham minus 500. $5 wins you a dollar. He was only minus 200 on Monday. We had it, what, about 3 weeks ago? And Hoyer is at plus 450. Cam Newton at 9-1, still in the mix. FanDuel in Jersey, pretty much the only book that has this up. It's almost like the bet's over at this point. So I could brag about that, but I want to learn from what we've learned, kind of build upon it. And here's what I think people missed. Probability. What is probability? Now, Fez, professional bettor, but he had another career as an actuary, vice president, young Doogie Howser-esque vice president. Well, he was in his 30s. How would you define probability, Fez?
You take incomplete and imperfect information and make projections about what's the likelihood of events occurring in the future.
Exactly. It's all likelihood, right? If you say, okay, what's the odds they're rolling boxcars with two pairs or a pair of dice, right? 1 in 36. So if someone's willing to pay me 37-1, I'm going to bet boxcars till the person collapses. I won't collapse till they collapse. And you know what? I could lose 60 of those in a row. Wouldn't mean it's a bad bet. In fact, it's most certainly mathematically a good bet. Now, why do I mention this? Belichick's probably not going to win a Super Bowl this year. And you know what? Stidham is probably not going to be an elite quarterback this year or any year. The probability says no. The question is, given the givens, given the circumstances, the opportunities or lack thereof the Patriots had, what else were they going to do? And you might say, sign Cam Newton, sign blah, blah, blah. Okay. Right now, they literally are spending, the Patriots, on their quarterbacks less than $2 million combined. Hoyer and Stidham combined less than $2 million. And still, New England is number 30 when it comes to cap space available, meaning only two teams have less cap space. So, yeah, you could somehow mortgage the future, perhaps do some shenanigans with contracts that, like a credit card, it comes due. But for what? You got Stidham. You used a good draft choice on him. Obviously, the Pats have some optimism that the probability is real and tangible that he could be really good, even though he's an underdog to be really good. But if Belichick accomplishes two things this year, one, gets to see Stidham, gets to see him. How good is he? And number two, not have to compromise the future to do shenanigans with the salary cap now. And even with both of those things, there's still a chance they can win. But it's unlikely. And you might say, how can the greatest coach ever, some believe, I believe, come into a season with a unlikely chance to really be good? Huh, what's the alternative? So to me, it's confusing to people. And I get it. It's not intuitive that on one hand, I think Belichick has played this perfectly, as he usually does. Because if he does something I disagree with, it, I question myself when it comes to football. And number two, even though he's played it perfectly, they're an underdog to be really, really good. What do you think, Fez?
Yeah, I think that that take is strong. I'm frankly surprised, RJ, if they're an underdog to be really, really good, but they're still supposed to win nine games. I thought the New England season win number, when this news came out, was going to slowly leak downward. Oh, they're going to likely go with Stidham. It's sitting there at nine. It's not moving.
What did you think was going to happen? Like, what was the dream? What was the dream scenario?
Well, Andy Dalton signing.
That was the dream?
That was the best case, I think.
My gosh, you got a dream better than that. That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Jonas, I guess, what do you have the strongest take on here? I want something hot, like almost extra hot.
I think the idea that the Patriots are sort of, you know, just throwing in the towel, so to speak, or, you know, they're just going to trust Jared Stidham with other quarterbacks out there that they could have had. I mean, if we're going to sit here and start questioning New England's talent evaluation when it comes to the quarterback position, I think we're insane. They've, whether it's, you know, Drew Bledsoe, you know, identifying Tom Brady and replacing Bledsoe with Brady, Matt Castle, Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, they've drafted and developed quarterbacks there. They've had a really, really good run over the past 20 years. The idea that all of a sudden, you know, because it's Jared Stidham and he was a fourth round pick, they just don't know what they're doing. I think they've earned the right, the benefit of the doubt in this case, and I think we got to wait this out, and I'm fascinated to see how he plays.
I don't think they have an alternative, and I also agree with you, but you know what's funny? You just ticked off those names. Other than Brady, who's the best quarterback? Garoppolo?
Yeah, Garoppolo.
And where do you, I mean, Fez, you got him, what, 12, 13?
14th.
14th. He was like 11th last year. He makes the Super Bowl and he's 14th.
Yeah, just, he struggled a little at the end of that Super Bowl.
Oh, you think so? I was telling you all year he was the weakness, right? It seems, it's funny that it's almost like I shouldn't let you listen to my takes because all you do is adjust for my takes and then there's no disagreements.
And you think I don't listen to you,
though. I know, but it's boring. Well, you know something? I might have a bet for you here. Give me an over-under on where Stidham, his QBR ranks this upcoming season.
26.5.
Okay.
Now, amongst, you know, all the quarterbacks.
Hold on. 26.5. Well, let's be clear. You're saying he's over-under QBR 26.5. So that means if he ends up being 27th, 28th, I would lose, correct? Confusing is it? Because I'm going to bet the under, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. So if it's you say 26.5, that means if he's 27th, 28th, 29th, you cash. And if he's 20th, I cash.
Yes.
Exactly. I want to make a real bet here. You want to take a dime?
Sure.
All right. So here's what I'll do. I force you to make the number, so I'll give you minus 105. So I'll bet $1,050 to win $1,000 on the under, and you're betting $1,000 to win $1,050. All right. Now that we heard the official, Jonas, I can tell you how I just snookered Fez big time. All right. QBR, you have to start like 9 games. And do you really think Belichick's going to let him keep playing with Hoyer? So it's almost a free roll for me. There's no way he's going to. Only 30 quarterbacks finished QBR rankings last year. I set him up, baby.
How did Fez come up with the number 26 and a half that fast? That would concern me that he would have a number like that.
Listen, if anyone was going to make odds in like a blank, like Malcolm Gladwell blank, Fez would be the guy. Unfortunately, I had this all planned out. How you feeling, Fez?
I feel like you picked me off on my quarterback opener number.
Woo! You like that, Jonas?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just – so, Fez, you think – is that you stating that you believe he's the 26th best quarterback in the NFL on your rankings?
No, what I actually did is I went ahead and took a quick look and I forecasted what his numerical QBR would be around 40. Then I looked last year and that would have ranked him right around 26th or 27th.
Except he would never be ranking with a 40. Because Belichick has Hoyer. He loves Hoyer. You're feeling pretty bad. I'll let you buy out for 800 if you want.
800.
All right, I'm RJ Bell. Pick in Fez's pocket. Hey, this use it on your friends, right? I mean, and here's the nice thing. You teach him a lesson. Fez will eventually run out of things to teach Fez. I mean, it's going to be a while. And then he'll be smarter for it. All right, Jonas, let me ask you this. Cam Newton. So much energy on Cam. And a lot of people are like, it's like they have indignation that somehow he doesn't have a starting job.
Yeah.
What do you think about, you know, what's your main take on it? Specifically, I'm interested in the talk that he might sit out a season instead of be a backup. Do you think that's smart?
I don't know that it's smart. I just think that's really his only option at this point. He doesn't want to be a backup, and I don't think it's ever a good idea that your backup quarterback is the loudest voice in the room. It's why certain guys just weren't capable of being backups. I don't think Colin Kaepernick could be a backup. I don't think Johnny Manziel could be a backup. I don't think Tebow could be a backup, and I don't think Cam Newton could be a backup or wants to be a backup. It's either going to be an injury that happens in the offseason and he signs somewhere, or I think there's a real likelihood he's going to sit this one out and wait until he comes back next season to try and vie for a starting job.
When you talk about Tebow, when you talk about Kaepernick, my belief has always been the backup role would have been difficult because of the press distraction.
Yes.
Not so much what a Tebow would have done. And again, Kaepernick, you never know because obviously he's got a lot of strong political beliefs and they can sometimes be disruptive. Anyone's political beliefs, if they're adamant and it's part, you know, related to football in some ways. That seems different, though, than a guy who would be disruptive just because he's, as Colin Cowherd says right here in FSR, a celebrity backup. So with Cam, I think it'd be more his actions, not so much there'd be so much press. What do you think?
I think there'd be a lot of press, though, and especially depending on where he goes. Like, if he went to Jacksonville, I mean, there would be people saying, man, he's better than Gardner Minshew. Why is he the backup there? Like, it just wouldn't.
If he is better, why is he the backup?
Yeah, I know, but that's the point. Jacksonville wants to see what they've got in Gardner Minshew, and I just feel like Cam Newton's best opportunity is going to be somebody suffers an injury and a team's, you know, trying to find a guy that they can replace him with. Also, nobody's seen him really work out with their own eyes as far as how he looks health-wise, so he's sort of been caught up in this whole coronavirus limitation. So there's a lot to it.
We got odds on the next team Cam Newton's going to play for. Amazingly, Patriots are still the favorite, 3-1. Jacksonville second, 4-1. Redskins tied, 4-1. Pittsburgh, think he'd be a backup, 6-1. The Bears, 16-1. I don't know. I mean, the Jags, I think you take Andy Dalton over Cam, though I know we are so optimistic if Cam were healthy, how much better he'd be. You got to wonder, though, with all this talk about him not getting paid properly, even if he signed for $8, $9, $10 million, would he run the ball, Fez, as much as he needs to be successful? Cam's one of those guys that his willingness to run has so much to do with his success.
Yeah, remember a few years back when it was fourth and one, and he would just go Superman over the center and pick it up every time, RJ? And then the last 2 years, that element of his play was just completely missing.
By the way, Patriots today announced their center, Andrews. He missed all of 2019. He's back. Pro Football Focus says he had a 78. Last year's center had a 64. I think that's going to help Stidham out. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%.
Big time. Ted Karras goes to Miami, right? And the Patriots upgrade huge with Andrews back at center.
Up next, as great as Belichick has been, there's something he hasn't won in nearly a decade, and somehow he's favored over every other coach to win it next season. I'll explain.
That's coming up next. But first, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted, right? Here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a look at the future in New England.
Speaking of futures, what a bet. You know, you ever watch the wildlife stuff, Jonas, and there's like a lion, and then somehow this crazy animal comes out and he takes down the lion. Like the hunter becomes the hunted.
Right.
That's what happened to Fez. He's going around trying to exploit people, and then ba-boom, picked off. He's not happy about it. And that makes it even better. I want him to start wondering, am I losing? Am I getting how have I never met someone like RJ? How's he do this to me? I love it. Fez, is that what runs through your mind?
Then from the NFL draft, I got my pocket picked again.
I love it. A great day to listen. And we'll be talking about my Dak Prescott theory. I'm on a roll, and I've gotten so much feedback on that. But on Twitter, people have been congratulating me, and literally three people said, what's Fezzik's Twitter? I want to try to get this bet with them. I mean, that is hilarious. It's at Fezzik Sports, F-E-Z-Z-I-K. Fez, you have appetite for more of this?
No, I think I've had my cheesecake and a half. That's enough.
You can listen. This is the fastest growing show, obviously, on Fox Sports Radio. Audience has more than doubled in the last year. And you can listen on, let's see. Let's go the iHeartRadio app. That's an option. It's a good one. A lot of people love that app. Right now in Vegas, on the Strip, 99 degrees. No problems, but 99 degrees, and the neon is still off.
So, RJ, we were talking about Jared Stidham as the quarterback of the future, according to Jay Glazer of The Athletic and Fox Sports in his latest mailbag there in New England. And so the question becomes, what is the future looking like for Bill Belichick and company?
Well, this is amazing. So Bill Belichick, and as we teased it, has not done this for nearly a decade, but he's favored to do it this year, which is win the coach of the year. 2010, amazingly, was the last time Bill Belichick won the coach of the year. He won in 03, 07, 10. Hasn't won it for 9 seasons. 3 Super Bowls, that's not enough. Didn't win coach of the year. But now he's favored to win coach of the year. Right now the consensus odds, Belichick plus 750. And literally the next favorite, Bruce Arians, 13-1. McCarthy in Dallas, 14-1. Shanahan, 16-1. Kingsbury, ooh, that's interesting, 18-1. So Belichick has nearly double or half the payoff compared to the second favor, and he hasn't won in a decade. It's like, you know, we don't think he's hit his real stride yet. But it goes to show you this is all about expectation. Guys like Popovich in his prime, they don't win. Phil Jackson, they don't win coach of the year. It's almost like if you take an average team and they win 58% of their games, it's somehow better than taking any team to the Super Bowl. And I know you can't just have the Super Bowl champ every year be the coach of the year, but I look at the coaches that have had, you know, like Larry Brown. I know that people love Larry Brown. and he kind of guy could come into an SMU or whatever and make it work. And does anyone really think Larry Brown would have won the same amount of titles as Phil Jackson? It feels like to me, Jonas, there's something about winning it all that takes a special skill. And a lot of those guys that can take an average team slightly above average don't have that skill.
Well, that's why I think Bill Parcells is underrated when people talk about great coaches. I mean, everywhere he went, he turned around an organization. But because he, you know, won the two Super Bowls with the Giants, he lost one in New England. People forget about how bad New England was when he got there, how bad the Jets were when he got there, how bad the Cowboys were when he got there. He had a lot of success in those other places, but we don't really talk about those. We just talk about the two Super Bowls, and I think he sort of falls to the back of the line.
Though you were young, I mean, I guess you would have been in your early 20s, right? Is at the time when Belichick was jumping, you know, in his second stage of his career with the Jets and obviously the Patriots against Green Bay in the Super Bowl, he was regarded as the best coach in football.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. At the time.
And a lot of respect. You're saying, looking back in hindsight, and you know what I think it is? It's Belichick.
Yeah.
Not just Belichick so much better, but Belichick was on every staff that Parcells won. So there's this sneaking question, was it Parcells or was it Belichick?
Yeah, and I think that's part of seeing how great Belichick has done post-Parcells and what he did in New England. You know, people have taken that from, all right, well, clearly that must have been why Parcells won those Super Bowls was because of Belichick. But if you just look around, I don't think a Super Bowl title is the end-all be-all for me of whether or not you have success. I look at what he did in those other places, and I think that it's not as impressive as winning a Super Bowl, but still very impressive in that regard.
How many Marv Levy bobbleheads do you have?
I've got, let's see, one for every Super Bowl he was in, so I got four.
I see, I disagree. I know it's the, you know, quote-unquote, the smart take to say, oh, you know, the chips don't matter, don't count the rings. And I'm not saying it's the only thing. I do believe there's something. When you watch Jordan, and let me ask you a question. Do you think that the fact that Jordan went 6-for-6 in the finals, the fact, and I don't care what anyone says, when you come back for 22 games and you lose, yeah, you lost. But if someone says the last 6 years of his career before his 40s or whatever, I guess he was like 39, is he's 6 out of 6 winning championships, I believe that a Karl Malone having none, a Gary Payton having none, go up and down the list, Barkley having none. It's not just, and I'm not saying each one of these guys. To me, in general, there could be one guy that didn't have a flaw, just didn't get lucky. But if you take 10 guys that didn't win championships with good stats and 10 guys that did, I think there's something there. I don't think it's all luck. Do you think it's all luck?
No, I don't think it's all luck. And plus, Michael Jordan, we're talking about, I mean, historical.
But then what's the difference? Is it that he's so much better always, or that he was better Jordan in the biggest spots?
I think he was better than those guys no matter what. I think he was just
always
better
than those
guys. But by
enough not to lose once?
Yeah.
Well, that's,
yeah, I think he was that much better than Barkley. I think he was that much better. I think his supporting cast was that much better. I think defensively those Bulls teams were that much better. I just think they were just a better team and he was in his prime.
The more I watch The Last Dance, the more I question the whole supporting cast argument. Pippen was obviously mighty good. I don't know, was he the 10th best player, the 8th best player? Mighty good. But Rodman even then was so limited. And obviously a distraction. And when you look at the first three titles, Horace Grant, I mean, does Horace Grant even get mentioned today? What is Horace Grant on Golden State's prime team from a couple years ago? The eighth man?
He's loony.
Yeah, he's loony. He comes and goes like loony. Fez would have said, hey, I got the real plus minus. I think this loony looks good. Right? I mean, Horace Grant? And who's the fourth best player on those first three?
Gosh, I would have to go back and look at the
Bill
roster.
Bill Cartwright?
I don't know. I would have to go back and look at the roster.
So, I mean, listen, what you are espousing is what many people espouse. It's not some minority position. I just don't believe it. And I think the Pippen thing has grown. And it's so much talk about how great the Bulls were the first year Jordan was out. And they did make, I think it was the conference finals against the Knicks. And if you look at it, they actually were stacked otherwise. And then and again, stacked might be strong, but relative to the supporting cast that Michael had the year before, they actually improved a lot, other than Michael's absence, obviously. And then the next year, they let a lot of people go because they felt we couldn't win it that way. They didn't want to spend the money. And Jordan comes back to that team, and Bill Simmons just did a rewatchable on that loss against the Magic in the final game, game six of that series. And it's a fascinating – I mean, I was in my early 20s at the time, and it was like the whole world stopped. I mean, because, you know, it was 2 years almost, right? 2 years is a long time. I mean, it looks like a little bit of time when you look back 30 years ago, but – at the time, it was like Michael's gone. Another whole Hakeem was killing it. Another season, I'm back. I mean, the guy certainly had a flair for the dramatic.
Yeah.
I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. All right, Fez, Dak Prescott. I'm going to make this quick because I'm going to go about it another way. I'm going to keep it simple and concise. I'm going to name a few things that's happened, and I want you to tell me if this is a sign. If you had to pick one of Dak liking Dallas or not liking Dallas, and we'll keep a little tally. You know, when you make sticks like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the fifth one you run through, you know how to do that?
Sure.
Exactly. I'm going to do that. There's only going to be like three questions, so you won't need the thing through it. But here's the, here's the first one. When Dak didn't take supposedly, and Jonas is skeptical of this, but 33, meaning the reporting might be off, some of the reporting said $33 million last year. I think it's very possible Jonas is right, but I'm pretty sure it was in the 31 range or something. Multiple-year deal before year four. That's the key. Dak was going to have another year getting paid a pittance, and he could have had, you know, $150, $180 million, 5 years, 6 year, whatever the deal would have been. He said, no, thank you. What's that a sign of?
He loves me not to Dallas.
I think so. Okay. His actions when it comes to, well, let's start with this. When has Jerry Jones ever been cheap with a player? When has he ever played hardball and made it where, you know, this guy just can't say yes because it's such an unfair deal?
He plays softball. He holds out a little bit and then he caves in, right?
That's Steve Fezzik, who's on the moon with a 4 second delay. Like, what were you confused about there?
Sorry about that.
It's like he's got a satellite hookup from Jerusalem or something. No, he's a block away. I think, and Jonas, you know, I was trying to do this with you yesterday. You wouldn't play. Why didn't he take the money last year?
Because he wants more.
He wants more. But he's risking so much for a little bit more. Who's ever done this?
Like not taking a contract because they wanted more money?
No. Well, come on. Got offered by all account. I mean, if the 33 is true, that's a pretty reasonable offer last year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Be in a position where you're getting your money a year early and you haven't really been paid yet and it be about the last million or two. Because what could Dak want? Like, what would be the number that if he asked for it, you'd say, you know, that's a little steep, but I can see it. Like, where's that break point that if you went above it, you'd be like, man, that's unreasonable.
Oh,
per year.
I mean, if he wanted over 35, I would say that's probably unreasonable.
So so you would agree with me, if the 33 last year, if that reporting is correct, it's insane that for that extra $2 million, because if you would ask for 2.5, you'd think it was unreasonable. It's insane he turned down 33.
Depending on what the guarantees were and the number of
years.
Yeah,
but you're right. But it's not, I mean, you think Jerry Jones just is all, you're right. But let's assume it's not some extreme thing, right? And we'll find out soon enough, you know. But Jerry Jones overpays everybody, it seems. So why wouldn't he overpay Dak, or at least be fair with Dak? That's what I don't understand. And you mentioned it yesterday, the new agent. Hardball guy.
Yeah.
When it comes to Dak. I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. And Fez, when it comes to the way he's acted with the, you know, like Stephen Jones says something, he's pushing back really hard, having parties, you know, then pushing back on that. It just feels like that if all we did was take Dak's actions in the last 3 months and Cam Newton's actions in the last 3 months. Who's been the bigger troublemaker? Who's been more disruptive? Who's been more of a distraction?
Oh, Dak. He doesn't want to socially distance. He doesn't want to go to meetings. It seems like he doesn't want to be in Dallas.
I got to tell you something. And my last question is, and let's give the caveat that he would get, I think for sure, let me be clear. I think for sure Dak signs the tender and he makes his 32, I think this year it is. And he'll be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, like top five. And I don't think he walks away from, in fact, it'd be insane to walk away from that. Dallas could rescind it at any time, by the way. That's interesting. I don't think they will, but they want people to think they might, or Dak to think they might. But after he gets that 30-some, what's the incentive? Last year he said no when he was making like $2 million. Now he's making 30-plus, and guess what? In like 10 months, Dak would either get franchised again, which would be like he'd get paid over 40. I think it's 20% premium. Is that right, Jonas, you recall?
Yeah, he if they franchised him again, I forget what how much it goes up, but it would be significantly more.
I think it'd be up around 40.
Yeah.
He'd either make 40 or he's free to go anywhere. Belichick, he could go anywhere. The Las Vegas Raider. That's why everyone signs before the last cheap year, because now they'd have to wait, in theory, a whole year, injury risk, all that stuff, and then they could get tagged. And yeah, it's good money, but it's like, why not just sign the contract is what everyone else has done. When's the last time a good rookie quarterback has gotten into a tag year and not been re-signed by his team? And Cousins is the question, how good he was. Other than that,
Cousins is the only one I can think of.
So in a weird way, we're going to have to say that there is something funny going on behind the scenes, or something we're not hearing about, or some reason Dak is doing a lot of things that just historically no one or hardly anyone or no one does. Fez, final thought. What's the chance Dak's not, in your opinion, Dak's not with the Cowboys in 2021?
20%.
So 20%. I bet that's a lot higher than most people think.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. What would you say, Jonas?
I would put it 5%.
You want to give me 18-1?
Absolutely not.
Hey, you can't tempt Jonas no matter what. I mean, if you know what you should do once a month, take a bet, and then at least it will still keep trying.
I'm not. It's just not happening. Like,
Let's get it. I love it. Listen, all joking aside, there's not a better Joe in radio. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, you're a mechanic. You got strong takes. I mean, straight out of Vegas is lucky to have Jonas Knox. That's my belief. Let's talk some more Jordan. I got a few takes, and I think it sets up really well for the shows this weekend.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up, we will take another look at the latest edition of The Last Dance. More fallout from the Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls documentary. We do want to let you know that we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations. In-store or curbside, visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, I know all Steve can do is report the news, but this talk that, oh, the students have to be back for the teams to play, want to bet. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because these sanctimonious shrimp eaters, these guys that just are so happy to get that free buffet. And the big, you know, those 52-year-old dudes with their gigantic belly, like you can't imagine the belly being that big. And like I don't know how they get their pants cut. It's like, and all they do is eat and nothing really effectively after that. But they're VP of this and director of that. Yeah, as much as some people don't like, you know, like, oh, civil servants because they have these unions and all that. And yeah, there's probably some truth to that, right? If you can't get fired, you're probably not going to be worried about getting fired. But these like NCAA people are the worst I've ever been around. I mean, have you had any dealings with them, Jonas?
No, nobody.
I've been
up
to,
that
you know,
high.
Five or six, you know, bowl games with the coach. I got a few friends, you know, and it's just like, oh my God. And now they're sitting back going, well, we want this, we want that. It's like, well, do you want to get paid this year?
Yeah.
But see, they're all going to get paid. So why would they care all that much?
Yeah, so, it feels like a fake stance that they're taking in the moment. But when it comes down to it, and the option's there, you can play football, but maybe there won't be, you know, as many fans or any fans there at all. And based on what these TV contracts are like, they're gonna play games. Like, I just don't buy it.
Like Robert Duvall said in Apocalypse Now, Charlie don't surf. That's all I'm gonna say. If you get that, great. If you don't, watch Apocalypse Now. All right. Tomorrow, the schedule comes out, literally the NFL schedule. You want to know how a professional is going to bet it? Steve Fezzik's going to tell you.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So, RJ, tomorrow the NFL releases its 2020 regular season schedule.
Every pro is different. Fez, let me ask you, is this one of those days that the novices in Idaho think is a big day in Vegas, or is it really a big day in Vegas?
It is huge for the pros, RJ, and here's why. The limits on these week one lines that are going to come up just a little bit after the schedule is announced, they're going to be like 3,000 per game. Contrast that with the current numbers up there, games of the year, only like 300. So you can bet 10 times as much on these games. I will be salivating at the likely bets that I'm going to be making right after these lines come up week one.
Well, you have 29 outs, right?
I do.
So 3,000.
Yes.
Okay, so you can, you're going to be all right. We're talking to Steve Fezzik, professional, better NFL expert, only two-time winner of the Super Contest. COVID-19, obviously a variable. How do you think it affects the season?
I think it's going to hurt some of these teams that have really good home field advantages traditionally, Minnesota, New Orleans, Seattle, because they may well be playing without fans. That's going to hurt them. By contrast, teams with a bad home field advantage, bad fans, Chargers, Jacksonville, it's going to help those teams because that disadvantage of not having that home field advantage from crowd noise is going to be way mitigated.
Think about that. Because you're bad at something, if it's taken away, it hurts you less. I mean, so being bad sometimes can be an advantage. I also think, Fez, and tell me if you agree, change is historically bad. If you're changing quarterbacks, changing coaches, you just don't have the time to prepare like you typically do. Thoughts?
Yeah, and great point. I think that the new head coaches and new coordinators are going to struggle more with the COVID than the coaches that have been in play.
Exactly what I said. Thank you for repeating that. Finally, for me, if you look at the schedule, obviously there used to be the London trips and all that, not having the foreign trips, overseas trips this year. But the Thursday night games, if you're on the road, big disadvantage. And also, this is a tricky one. Playing Denver at Denver early in September is bad news. That altitude, oh my, early in the year before you're in really great game shape. Fez, also the weather's important.
Yeah, the warm weather teams like Miami, big advantage in the heat in September. But when those warm weather teams come December, have to travel to cold weather, big disadvantage. Don't want your road games late in December if you're a Dolphin fan.
Now, that was a heck of a segment from Steve Fezzik. And that's the guy I pretty much took 1,000. I plucked it out of his pocket earlier. If you missed that, listen to the pod. And tomorrow, we're going to try to get Steve back. It is literally, well, I guess we'll have it Friday because you're not going to, it's 8 o'clock at night. Yeah, so Friday, Fez is back. We'll be breaking down, previewing the schedule.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio, and as always, the iHeart Radio app.
Straight out of Vegas!